Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 28, text 53.
Api smarasi chatmanam.
Api smarasi chatmanam.
Avigyata sakam sake.
Avigyata sakam sake.
Itvamam paraman vichchan.
Itvamam paraman vichchan.
Oma bogara togata.
Api smarasi chatmanam.
Avigyata sakam sake. Itvamam paraman vichchan.
Boma
bogara togataha.
Api smarasi chatmanam.
Avigyata sakam sake. Ibamam param anvichan.
Boma
bogara togataha. Word for word. Api smarasi. Do you remember? Chap, also. Atmanam, the super soul. Avigyata, unknown. Sakam, friend. Sake, O friend. Hitva, giving up. Mam, me. Param, position. Anvichchan, desiring. Boma, material. Boga, enjoyment. Rata, attached to. Gataha, you became. Translation, the Brahmana continued, my dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. Translation, please repeat. The Brahmana continued.
My dear friend,
even though you cannot immediately recognize me,
can't you remember
that in the past
you had a very intimate friend?
Unfortunately, you gave up my company
and accepted a position as enjoyer
of this material world. Before, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:27, Icha dvesha samutena dvanda mohana bharata sabhutani samoham sagiyanti parantapa. O son of Bharata, Arjuna, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. This is an explanation of how the living entity falls down into this material world. In the spiritual world, there is no duality, nor is there hate. Supreme Personality of God expands himself into many in order to enjoy bliss more and more. The Supreme Lord expands himself into different categories. As mentioned in the Varaha Purana, he expands himself in Vishnu Tattva, the Svamsa expansion, and in his marginal potency, the Vibhinamsa, or the living entity. These expanded living entities are innumerable, just as the minute molecules of sunshine are innumerable expansions of the sun. The Vibhinamsa expansions, the marginal potencies of the Lord, are the living entities. When the living entity's desire to enjoy themselves They develop a consciousness of duality and come to hate the service of the Lord. In this way, the living entities fall into the material world. In the Prema Vivata, it is said, Krishna Bahimukha Hana Bhoga Vanchakari Nikatasta Maya Tare Japati Adhare. The natural position of the living entity is to serve the Lord in transcendental loving attitude. When the living entity wants to become Krishna himself or imitate Krishna, he falls down into the material world. Since Krishna is the Supreme Father, his affection for the living entity is eternal. When the living entity falls down into the material world, the Supreme Lord, through his Vamsa expansion, Paramatma, keeps company with the living entity. In this way, the living entity may someday return home back to Godhead. By misusing his independence, the living entity falls down from the service of the Lord and takes a position in the material world as an enjoyer. That is to say, the living entity takes his position within a material body. Wanting to take a very exalted position, the living entity instead becomes entangled in a repetition of birth and death. He selects his position as a human being, a demigod, a cat, a dog, a tree, etc. In this way, the living entity selects a body out of 8,400,000 forms and tries to satisfy himself by a variety of material enjoyment. Supersoul, however, does not like him to do this. Consequently, the Supersoul instructs him to surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord then takes charge of the living entity. But unless the living entity is uncontaminated by material desires, he cannot surrender to the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 5.29, the Lord says, Bhoktaram Jagatapa Samsava Lokamahishwaram Suridam Savabhutanam Gyatvamam Santi Murishchati. The sages knowing me is the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. The Supreme Lord is the supreme friend of everyone. However, no one can take advantage of the Supreme Friend's instructions or making his own plans to become happy and entangle himself in the modes of material nature. When there is creation, the living entities take on different forms according to past desires. This means that all the species or forms of life are simultaneously created. Darwin's theory stating that no human being existed from the beginning, but that humans evolved after many, many years, is simply a nonsensical theory. From Vedic literature, we find that the first creature within the universe is Lord Brahma. Being the most intelligent personality, Lord Brahma would take charge of creating all the variety found within this material world. Api smarasi chakmanam avigyata sakam sake hitvamam param anvichchan boma boga rato gataha. The Brahmana continued, my dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world. So, over these last few chapters, this Narad Muni very kindly is showing compassion to King Prachinibhaisha and telling him the story of King Puranjana and how he was in trying to enjoy in the world. But he became very, very too much attached. And his wife's name was Paranjani. Paranjani. The story of Puranjana and Paranjani. Of course, it's an allegorical story, just to illustrate some points of philosophical understanding. And philosophical understanding means spiritual philosophical understanding. That, you know, as long as the living entity is trying to enjoy in the world, this philosophical understanding is lost to him. Is lost to him. He's so absorbed in materialistic activities, he doesn't think about spiritual activities or spiritual philosophy. Overtaken. And here in this verse, It is mentioned in Prabhupada, quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Icha Dvesha Samutena Vandamona Bharata Sabhutani Samoham Sagyanti Parantapa. All living entities are born in delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. And Prabhupada goes on to say this is an explanation how the living entity falls down into the material world. In the spiritual world, there's no duality. And as soon as the living entity sees himself as a competitor of Krishna, then the duality arises. Just at that point, in the beginning, right in the spiritual world, the duality arises within his own. There's no duality actually in the spiritual, but within his own consciousness. Duality, yeah, myself and Krishna, and he sees and wants to enjoy in a way that, like Krishna, or compete with Krishna. And of course, that is not existent really in the spiritual world. So Krishna, of course, creates the whole material nature, and all the different universes and planetary systems and the living entities are given an opportunity, although it is an unreality. It is an unreality. So Krishna, very amazingly, creates this situation where the living entities are given that opportunity to satisfy their mentality. But this is the beginning of this duality. And when there's duality, when there's separation between, you see a separation, when the living entity sees a separation between himself and Krishna, then that separation leads to competitiveness, leads to resentment, because the living entity wants to compete with Krishna, but of course it's not Krishna. It's not a question of competing with Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna, and Prabhupada points out Svamsa and Vibhinamsa, that there are different types of expansions of we were talking last night in giving the class on Lord Chaitanya. There are different Svayam Prakash, Svayam Vilas, and Svayam Prabha, Svayam Bhava. All these technical terms are given to different types of expansions and incarnation. But of course, I was saying that Lord Chaitanya is not in the category of any of these. He is Krishna himself. He is not expansion. He's not incarnation. This Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami points out very elaborately throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita. But nevertheless, there's different expansions that they are called the Vishnu Tattva, as Prabhupada explains here. Goes into the basic understanding of the situation of the spiritual world and the material world. So there's Vishnu expansions, and there's so many. Of course, Radharani has her own category on the side of Krishna, the Balaram, and so many expansions. And then there are other types of expansions. They are separated. They are called Vibhinam, so they are the living entities. Marginal, but the Lord has many different potencies, and his marginal potency, the living entities are expanded in that way. But they are not on the level of Svamsa, but they have their own category. And Prabhupada goes on to say they are innumerable, and the molecules, just like the molecules of the sunshine, expansions, innumerable, they are like innumerable expansions of the sun. So this sense of enjoying separately by the innumerable living entities leads to this duality, and it leads to a resentment which comes up to be. And Prabhupada goes so far as to say they come to hate the service of the Lord. They come to hate. Because, you know, when you have built up resentment, you know, you see someone as your competitor, and that you are lacking many things that they have, you begin to resent it, and you build it up, and that resentment becomes deeper and deeper and stronger, and it turns into the hate. So here, Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mona bharata sabhutani saman sagi antipat. The living entities are overcome by, this is an illusion or delusion as mentioned here, and overcome by dualities of desire and hate. Hate. And there are all sorts of other dualities arise also. So this hate doesn't exist in the spiritual world because everyone is in unison with Krishna, not seen separately. engaging just naturally, but somehow or other, some living entities, this spark, as mentioned in other shastras, it's just like a spark of a mentality builds up for some while, then Krishna understands all, or that this living entity is thinking in this way, I will create a situation for this living entity and so many others, this material nature. But here, as Prabhupada explains, it's not natural. Krishna bahimukahana bhoga vanchakari nikatasta mayatare japatiya dare. The natural position is to be with Krishna in transcendental loving attitude and to render loving devotional service. This very much this attitude of wanting to serve Krishna out of love. It's just natural. When you love someone, you want to do something for them. You know, if someone can give lip service, I love you, I love you, but you don't want to do anything. I love you, I love you. Oh, thank you very much. Can you wash the dishes? No, no. You do it. You know, just a little example. So if you love someone, you want to do. You want to do for that person. So if someone says, I love you, but doesn't do anything, and just thinking selfishly only for themselves, doesn't want to go out of their way for anyone, that's not very much an exhibition of love. Love is deep. And so they, you know, in the material world, there's no real love as such, because even though people do things for others, it's basically very superficial. And in the story of Puranjana, where, you know, the body became very old, and even though he had many children and grandchildren and so on, when he became very old and couldn't provide for everyone, those personalities who supposedly loved him started to abandon him very quickly. So this is the case. This is a superficiality of love in the material. It's not really love. It is a perverted reflection of the real love, because real love means doesn't matter the situation, doesn't matter whether someone can do something or not do something, that love continues always. So if I can do something for you, you are my friend. You are my friend when you can supply things. But if you can't supply, then you are no longer my friend. But this is not the position of Krishna. So here the Brahmana refers to Krishna, Paramatma. He is the old friend, my dear friend. He is always the friend. He always has love. So Krishna, even though this situation is created for those living entities who want to separate themselves, Krishna always remains the friend. And Prabhupada mentions here, he is like the supreme father. If someone is the father or the mother and they have the children, some children are going off like that, even though their parents, they don't like it, but still they are the children and they have the love for them. And Prabhupada says here, the love is eternal. Love is eternal. Sometimes in the material world, some family member, the children or the other family member, goes right, does many bad things, and in the material world it may be like that, they just cut them. No, he is not my son anymore. She is not my daughter anymore. So in the material world it can be like that. Can be like that. That is material nature. But spiritually, Krishna is never like that. He never abandons, no matter what. And he is not only that, but he is traveling with the living entity everywhere. So the illusion of the living entity, and Krishna is so intelligent, create a situation where they want to compete with me and actually just forget me. I'll create a situation, it's created by me, and I am accompanying them, next to them, arranging everything for them, but they don't even know about that, even though I'm right next to them. What is the position of the Supreme Personality? He can do all these things. And even so, someone is right next to you. So, for example, if you're very focused, so you can be reading the book, you're very focused, and you're so, and someone can be talking. Everyone's probably experienced this. Someone can be talking right there, and they say, wait, didn't you hear me? I was talking to you? No, because they're so absorbed. Even they can be right there. They're so absorbed in what they're doing. Someone talking right there, they didn't even notice them. So even though Krishna is right next to us, always body after body, he is arranging it. We are thinking we are doing it, but actually Krishna is arranging it. Paramatma, he is arranging. So he is next to body after life after life after life, but we don't even know he's there. Because we are so absorbed in our life. This is the illusion. This is the illusion. But the natural position is not like that. And as I said, when the parent, the children may go and do many bad things, still the parent, you know, generally speaking, still has affection because she is my daughter or he is my son. So they don't like it, but they're always waiting for an opportunity and they're always there ready to help. And this is true friend. Never abandons you, always with you. It is very difficult, normally when someone is very attached to doing a thing, so if you want to help, but if you have to know how to help. If you push too much, maybe you push them further away, isn't it? So it's not so easy. It's not so easy. But Krishna is very expert. For us, it's not so easy. Someone goes away, our daughter, our son, or whoever it is, and we want to help them. Do we want to actually help them, or do we actually want to control them? What is it actually? So that we have to ask ourselves. How should I do it? How should I help? How should I help that person? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do the other thing? So one has to know how to help also. And just like, there's one saying that the path of destruction is paved with good intentions. Bachila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to use that phrase. The path of destruction is paved with good intention. You may want to help. Just like someone is an accident, something is wrong, internal bleeding or something inside, and so that you come, you want to help, you move them roughly, let's get them to, and you throw them in the car. I saw this one time, someone was got electrocuted. And then the persons were all panicking, and they threw it very roughly. They put them in the car. Later on, someone told me, a doctor told me, that actually you have to, because who knows what the situation? Better to bring the experts there to. They know how to do it. If you have some internal problem and you get thrown very roughly in the car, or you get put in the car, maybe you shouldn't be moved. Or something has pierced your body, or something like that, or gone inside. And then, let's pull it out. But actually, the doctors might say, no, just leave it inside there. We'll take it out. Because if you just take it out, then the bleeding will kill you. Right? The bleeding will kill you. So the surgeons, they know very well how to do that thing. Don't take it out. We'll take it out on the operating table. That's transporting life. So you have to know how to do it. You may want to help. You've got the sincerity. Oh, I wanted to help him. That thing was going in. I just pulled it out. I was just helping him. And then he died 5 minutes later. You killed him. And then you killed him. You wanted to help, but you killed him. So wanting to help, is any chair for him? So you have to know how to help. So Krishna, he is very expert. And Krishna does things in Krishna's time. Sometimes we think we know better than Krishna how to do something. Krishna says something in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, you read a story of Krishna and he does something. And one devotee said, why did Krishna do it like that? Why didn't he do it like this? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he knows better than you how to do it. So in our arrogance, we think we know the best how to do everything, even up to the point of knowing better than Krishna how to do it. Knowing better than Krishna. We see the small picture. Krishna does something, it may not seem logical in the short term, but Krishna has a big plan. He has the big plan. And how patient Krishna is. He knows not to push too hard. He knows not to push too little. He knows how to do everything just expertly. He is just waiting. He is traveling with the living entity over many, can be many millions of lives. But he is just going, waiting for the opportunity. Doesn't like. He knows that this is the suffering. This is the illusion. There's no actual suffering for the soul because he is not even part of the situation. But there's suffering in that he's identifying with that. But Krishna knows, because of that identification, that living entity is suffering. But Krishna, how to help? He wants to help. And he's just waiting for the opportunity. So here in this story, we find that Puranjana, he became a woman in the neck. He was overly attached to his wife. She stood up, he stood up, she sat down, he sat down. I remember there was one verse like that. Whatever. She lay down, he lay down. She ate, he ate. Like that. He was just following her like that. He became like that. Maybe not in the beginning, but after some time he became like that. So he was overly attached. So in the next, so if you're, you know, very attached, you're thinking about your life, next life, he became a woman in the next life, but he was very, very lucky that he married a very she married a very nice husband. And all figuratively speaking, the husband was like the spiritual master. So we may have been very foolish, you know, but if we're very fortunate in our, whether it's this life or the, you know, next life, if we're able to meet someone who can truly help, then that's very fortunate for us. So, what was her name? And then Vaidabi, was it? Then? She became Vaidabi. When Puranjana became, he came as Vaidabi. So she followed her husband very. And the husband was in the mode of goodness. This is very important. The husband was in the mode of goodness. So the husband represents the spiritual master who's in the mode of goodness, and of course can be in the mode of pure goodness. So someone who just follows like that, they're very fortunate, and then they get elevated. And they get elevated to the point where even when they're following the spiritual, you know, there's Vapu, there's Vani, you get the association, you follow the instruction. If you follow everything just nicely, then you get so purified that even the spiritual master goes and you're by yourself, and then you're purified to the point where Paramatma, who's been with you the whole time, you're purified to the point where you can hear and get, as Chaitya Guru, the Paramatma can come and instruct you himself. But before that time, we're not yet on that level. We can't take directly. We're just too absorbed in material activity, overcome by especially passion and ignorance. We can't hear the instruction, nor is Paramatma going to give that instruction necessarily, because he knows the situation of the living entity. So some people claim like that. I remember some, who was it? I forget, Father Kelly, or someone came to see Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada about conflicting, what seems to be conflicting positions of. He said, sometimes we get people who say that God told me to do this. And then someone else will say, well, God told me to, and it may be completely opposite to what the other one just said. You know, and then he asked for advice. How do we answer these types of things? And said that someone is completely convinced that God told me, right? And Prabhupada said, well, first of all, there are general instructions for everyone coming from God. And they are given in books like Bhagavad Gita and other shastras. So if someone says, God told me to that I should do this, God told me to get the hammer and bang you on the head. Right? Or God told me to do the other thing. So Prabhupada said that if it goes against the general instructions of what is in the shastras, then how is it that God told you? And I remember there was one, Chandramukha Swami told me one story that about some disciple came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, last night I had a very wonderful dream and you said this and you said that and you said the other. I had a wonderful dream about you and you said I have to do like this and you said I have to do like that. And Prabhupada said, oh, that wasn't me. He said, maybe that was some Buddha or something like that. I never said like that. just remember that story. So we're thinking emotionally, we're thinking that Krishna is, but we're not on that level of receiving that that pure. Actually, Prabhupada told me in my initiation, you have to become pure, told all of us, you have to become pure as quickly as he said, Om Apavitra. He said, Krishna is Pavitram, he is pure. So now you're initiated, you have to become like Krishna, like pure. Then you can have nice direct association with Krishna. Now you can't, but you have to become pure. Training is necessary. Training. And I think this is mentioned that earlier on, Narad Muni was explaining that in the youth, and generally in there, there's the childhood and one is under the parents, and then there's the youth. So really the strong enjoying period is in the youth, and Prabhupada mentioned that maybe 16 to 30, like that. 16 to 30 is the strong, that's the youth. Maybe 14 years, or 15, doesn't last very long, is the Prabhupada's purport. It doesn't last very long. But for 14 or 15, the body is very strong, and generally, unless one can also get sick, or so many things can happen in the youth. But generally speaking, that is very strong. Then after that, then it dwindles down. These things, and then the old age comes and it dwindles down, and so on and so forth. I just forgot my point here. That's in the youth. It's very strong, but we cannot. When we're absorbed like that, we're very much devoid of being able to and get instruction from Paramatma, even the spiritual master, or anything like that. And Prabhupada mentioned that because of this enjoying mood, everyone tries to enjoy in so many different ways. And this is especially in the modern society because there's no training. This is the point. He said, because there's no training, if the Varnashram system, if the system of the students receiving spiritual instruction was there, that mood wouldn't be so strong. They would have some training. And Prabhupada used to repeat this many times. You boys and girls, you are very nice, but you lack the training. You have to be trained, and through, and then you will know about how to live the life. But because there's no training, the youth is very strong, the desire to enjoy is very strong, and one goes very hard at enjoying. And then later on, one gets old, the body decreases, the energy is not there, but still the mood is there. So you keep trying to do it. And then you get older and older, even the old age, the disease comes, you become very weak, and so on. You can't do it, but you're still trying to do it. Because all along you've never had the training. And it's a very unfortunate thing. Because then the death comes, and then in the next life, the living entity has to go, who knows what the situation. One can become, and Prabhupada says, 8,400,000 species of life, one can become a tree. One can become so many, a dog, a cat, the valuable human form of life is wasted. So training needs to be there. And the super soul can instruct someone. And luckily, Vaidabhi now, having association with a husband who is a representative of the spiritual master, and then when her husband has left his body, or the spiritual master has left, then Krishna can come. If you're trained and you come up to the level of mode of goodness and pure goodness, then Krishna can come and directly instruct you. So one is always with Krishna. Krishna is always with you. Just that you have to know how to come to the level of appreciating the Supreme Personality of Godhead and taking his instructions and knowing how to follow those instructions. Now here Prabhupada ends by saying, Supreme Lord is the supreme friend of everyone. However, no one can take advantage of the supreme friend's instructions while making his own plans to become happy and entangle himself in the modes of material nature. When there's creation, the living entities take on different forms according to past desires. This means that all species of forms of life are simultaneously created. Prabhupada talks a little bit a little bit off the point of the living entity in one sense, not off the point, but just a comment about the understanding of living entities and all the different types of species, and you know, he mentions Darwin's theory of how the human form has evolved from the lower species of life to where it is now. But Prabhupada says no, because Brahma is the first human being of the universe. He is the first one, and all other species of life are coming from Lord Brahma. So he said this Darwin theory is nonsensical. And especially in the Vedic literature, we find that the first being within the universe is Lord Brahma. Being the most intelligent personality, Lord Brahma could take charge of creation, all the variety found within this material world. So how to come to the point of elevating ourselves? We don't have to worry about immediately seeing God. In fact, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very fond of saying, don't try to see God, but act in such a way that God will want to see you. You know, I told the story of Lord Chaitanya, how, you know, he was very affectionate, especially to those devotees that, and even those who weren't directly, there was one story of when Lord Chaitanya was travelling to Jagannath Puri, he went ahead of the others, but Nityananda had broken his danda, and so Lord Chaitanya was a bit upset with him, so he went ahead of everybody else. And there was one young boy who was selling the buttermilk, and Lord Chaitanya came there, and he took the buttermilk, and he drank all the buttermilk, and the boy said, well, now you have to pay for the buttermilk. I said, Lord Chaitanya, I haven't got any money. I said, but my friends have some money, they're coming up behind me, you can get it from them. So then the boy said, oh, all right. And then, so Lord Chaitanya went on, but actually he stopped at a distance and was looking back and said, well, Lord Nityananda and the others came. The boy said, oh, your friend just came. And he took my buttermilk and he said, you would pay. And they all looked at each other, we haven't got any money. We're all mendicants. So I told that story last night, but then the boy said, oh, all right, you know, I'll have to explain something to my parents. But he was very attracted to Lord Chaitanya. So he wasn't, Lord Chaitanya just met him. So, but he was so attracted to Lord Chaitanya that when he went and picked up his container again, he couldn't lift it. And he was wondering why, and he opened it up and it was all filled up with jewels. So then he kind of understood that this must be some miracle, and he saw Lord Chaitanya. He is a very special person, and he went running and fell down at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. So Krishna shows affection in so many ways. Sometimes he takes away. In this instance, he gave. And sometimes he's like the father. He'll give and he can take away. One is abused, just like the children. I want to eat more halva. No, you've had enough halva. You'll become sick. No, no, daddy, give me more. No, you'll be sick. Daddy, you're a bad daddy. I hate you, daddy. Can be like that, right? I've seen like that. The children, they hit the mother. You're a bad mother. You're a bad daddy. I hate you. So it can become like that. But in that instance, the father, you know, tolerates because he is thinking of the welfare of the child. So sometimes he has to say, no, you can't take that thing. The child doesn't understand. So we are like the children sometimes. Why Krishna did like that? Why took away? I always remember the story in Jakarta. I was in Jakarta many years ago, and one lady organized a big program. Her husband was a big executive in the factory. So we all went and did the program. Very nice. Chanting. I gave a lecture. Nice prasadam. And everyone was happy. But then the lady, after a few days, she came to the temple and, Swami, I'm very upset. I can't understand why. I did everything with the program, but now I've lost my job. I've lost my job. Why God has done like that? That's very upset. I tried to explain, but she couldn't hear. She was too upset. But then a week later, she came back. Oh, Swami, I'm very happy. Now I've got a better job. So, see, you had little faith in Krishna, I see. But now he's given you some other thing. But, you know, we're like the children, you know, some Krishna takes away and then we're, you know, just like the child who, you're a bad daddy. She was very angry with Krishna. And even Prabhupada says that in his purport here, that the living entity comes to hate the service of the Lord. It becomes so resentful, seeing himself separate as a competitor, and so on and so forth. When you become obsessed with competing, and then you build, as I said, build resentment and even come to the hate. But that doesn't exist in the spiritual world. So this world is for that. There's a lot of hate in this material world, that's for sure. So we don't want to live in the world of hate. We want to live in the world of eternality, of spiritual perfection. And then, so Narad Muni very compassionately gives this nice instruction to King Prachanibhasha of how to come to the topmost platforms. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any question? Yes, ma'am.
As Maharaj, you said, we are all Anandmaya Abhyasa. We all want too much pleasure. We don't want any pain. But in material world, there is always...
Living entity is Anandmaya Abhyasa. Pleasure-seeking and always pleasure-seeking. But unfortunately, in ignorance, in illusion, seeks the pleasure in the material world. So we're all pleasure-seeking. Because that's our nature. Life is pleasure. Life is happiness. So somehow or other, why are we in misery? And so the materialists, they foolishly try to alleviate the misery by material arrangement. And Prabhupada talks about, I think in another purport, about, you know, even at the end of the life, people start putting forward, well, they're enjoying through this material body and so many, or the body gets old, let me, you know, prolong the life of the body by scientific advancement and so on. This is foolishness. So, in illusion, the living entity is seeking the pleasure, but in the material world. But if we seek the pleasure in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, then we'll actually experience what is the real pleasure. Yeah. Yeah.
At the moment, we are doing Bhaktivedanta, 11th canto, first chapter. Mm. Krishna is saying that if I leave my... if I leave these Yadavas, when he was winding up his program, Lord Krishna was winding his program, then he said to him that if I leave the Yadavas on the planet, before I leave the planet, then they love me so much that they will create confusion. Mm-hmm. They will create a lot of confusion. Therefore, we have to first take him, then only I can go. And then he goes
to the West. He arranged everything to yeah. So sometimes it's not easy to understand why Krishna does things. You know, looking at it, and not knowing that what is the idea, and then why Krishna did like that. His own family members, why he arranged like that. But the reason was something else.
And you said because of the conditioning, sometimes we say that why Krishna did this, and why did because of our conditioning.
Yeah, that's our conditioning. But Krishna sees the bigger picture. Yeah. Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Jai.